Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And, by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, leading Democrat voices like Chris Cuomo are warning their fellow members to stop caving into the wokeism of hard lefties. Hard lefties such as Representative Ocasio-Cortez and her entire squad. Why? Because doing so has proven to be a losing electoral strategy. But are the Cuomos of the party outnumbered? Also, the biggest Wall Street CEOs were a no-show at Zohran Mamdani's meet-and-greet, thus demonstrating opposition to the socialist planned economic destruction of New York City. How? Through government-owned grocery stores, anti-Semitism, to fund the police plans, and, of course, a takeover of small businesses. A lot of people take umbrage at those things. Also, contrary to the Democrats' claim that Trump's tax cuts were only for the rich, guess what? Well over 80% are enjoying these cuts, along with a ton of other benefits provided by the new OBBB. What are some of the specifics? We will get into them. But first, I want to get to recently former CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, because he had some interesting things to share on his podcast. As a matter of fact, James, if you wouldn't mind, buddy, let's go ahead and set this one up. Clip 6. This is from Chris Cuomo's Project podcast, News Nation host as well, if you will. And here's what he had to say about Democrats doubling down on their messaging of Trump sucks. Clip 6. James, if you will.
Now what you're doing is doubling down on Trump sucks by outrage and making your own MAGA. I don't think it's going to work for Democrats. I think you're making a mistake paying attention to AOC and this new deference to radical left and radical fundamentalist and radical Islamist sympathies. I think it's a huge mistake. You are once again valuing the few over the many. And if you think trans sports got you in a pickle, you're about to be in a whole bucket of brine.
Where is he off the mark? I mean, he's calling for people to understand that AOC is, quote unquote, a symbol of the demise, because it's one that places, quote unquote, the needs of the few over the many. Of course, as you heard, he went on to argue that sticking with socialists like her will be the ruin of the Democrat Party. The good news for the GOP seems to be that Cuomo's advice is falling on deliberately deafened ears. And he also added that by legitimizing AOC, her woke supporters are making a quote-unquote huge effing mistake. He then added, quote, if you Democrats think that trans sports got you in a pickle, you're about to be in a whole bucket of brine. Now, of course, others like Rahm Emanuel, former Obama chief of staff, former mayor of the great city of Chicago, former ambassador to, I think, the Court of St. James, or no, maybe it was the Vatican. I forgot which. He's also an ambassador. But the guy's got his finger on the heartbeat of the Democrat Party, and as far as he's concerned, that party's just going to look more and more like a corpse if it doesn't turn things around. Also, James Carville, former Bill Clinton campaign manager and Democrat guru, has joined Rahm Emanuel with those sentiments. They both have been making similar warnings. But again, to no avail. So is it fair to say that these voices won't have their deserved traction until the Democrat Party loses the very additional elections about which Cuomo and Emanuel and Carville have been warning? I think it's fair to say that merely being told that you're going to get a spanking is never as effective as the spanking itself, is it? Let's look at what Rahm Emanuel had recently said. He specifically said that he doesn't any longer want to hear about pronoun use and the push for biological males rivaling naturally born females in competitive sports, or to try to make believe that merely claiming you identify as a female wouldn't be a lie plenty of guys would be willing to say in order to enter their locker rooms and bathrooms. You know, he's trying to say you can't make believe that there aren't those with bad faith intent who will merely claim that, yeah, they identify as a female in order to use the girls' locker rooms and bathrooms. Matter of fact, not long ago, he admitted to Bill Maher that had this been a discussion during his school years, he most assuredly would have lied to get into those spaces. I remember the show when he did that, actually. But Democrats of today despise any demand for introspective thought on their part, do they not? And I say this as a former Democrat. I'll never be a Republican, but I don't know what the hell happened to my old party. And as I mentioned, Carville, he's also offered his own criticism against these socialists, these socialist Democrats like AOC, Senator Bernie Sanders, of course, the new sensation, New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani. Carville recently said that, quote, there's truly depth and talent in the Democratic Party. Yeah, right. But anyway, this is what he said. There's truly depth and talent in the Democratic Party. And the faster that we can get them on the field and people seeing them, and the sooner we can get people like Bernie Sanders and AOC not defining who the party is, the better off we're going to be, unquote. But again, like with Cuomo and Emanuel and even Pennsylvania Senator Democrat John Fetterman, Carville's warnings against hardcore socialist Democrats are treated more as blasphemy than constructive criticism. And I'm thinking this dunce-like thickness only continues to help the GOP. Where am I mistaken? I'm looking at some other recent takes on this whole phenomenon. Get the New York Post. The headline is, Rise of Zohran Mamdani Has Wall Street Giving Up on Gotham. It's by Charles Gasparino. And this is what he writes. The New York City partnership threw a party, but no one really showed up. A who's who of the New York City business community were no-shows for a Tuesday meet-and-greet session with Socialist Democrat mayoral nominee Zohran Mamdani. The list of New York City-based CEOs that declined the partnership's invitation includes Jamie Dimon, the nation's top banker and chief of J.P. Morgan, the nation's largest bank. Also Steve Schwarzman, the CEO of private equity powerhouse Blackstone, Brian Moynihan, the head of the Bank of America, the nation's second largest bank, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, and David Solomon, the CEO of investment banking giant Goldman Sachs, most publicly pleaded scheduling conflicts. But Solomon described it differently. He said, quote, what is this guy going to tell us that we don't already know? And those sentiments were pretty universal among the sources at the banks of the CEOs who did not attend. End of excerpts. Now, If these business titans pick up their marbles of commerce to find a different home, then New Yorkers are going to learn a rather sobering lesson about which candidates they should stop supporting. Am I correct? For instance, any candidate whose platform is, hey, vote for me and I'll give you more out of the treasury than the other guy, is perhaps not the brightest mind to pick as a leader, is he? I mean, anybody can offer that crap. Hey, vote for me and I'll give you more out of the treasury than the other guy. Anybody can offer that. My local barista can make those promises. But that doesn't mean he can keep them. Especially when trying to do so categorically destroys all the commerce necessary for making all of our lives worthwhile. I mean, without commerce, we have no dream careers or simply careers that permit other dreams to come true. Mamdani, what a mess.
Power demand and load growth is not a future problem. It's happening today. And that's coming from a number of sources, including AI and data centers, reshoring and manufacturing, as well as electrification of the economy. That means we're going to need all the resources we can possibly gather in order to power the system today and going forward. That will include dispatchable resources like nuclear, natural gas, and even the existing coal fleet used in tandem with resources like wind, solar, and battery storage that are energy resources that need supplements from the dispatchable resources. In addition, it's important that policymakers shrink the delta between aspirational policy goals and operational realities of the electric system. In doing so, we can mitigate costs and empower the market to deliver least cost solutions for consumers. If you want more information about these issues and more issues involving energy, go to EPSA.org.
Self-care isn't just candles and bubble baths anymore. It's smart techie tools that actually help you feel better. And I've got five Renfo picks that are all on sale for Prime Day. First, the mini thermal massage gun, compact, powerful, and the head heats up to 114 degrees Fahrenheit to melt away muscle tension and soreness anywhere on the go. For tired eyes, the Iris 1 and the Iris 3 eye massagers use heat, compression, and Bluetooth music. The Iris 3 even has voice control and a cooling gel mask to fight screen fatigue and puffiness. Then there's the smart tape measure. It connects to your phone and tracks 18 body measurements, so you can actually see your progress over time. And last but not least, the new Renfo Shiatsu foot massager. Total 360 degree compression, deep kneading, soothing heat, and it's even FSA, HSA eligible. They're all discounted right now for Prime Day on Amazon, so grab them before they're gone. Search Renfo on Amazon to snag deals nearly 50% off.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Delighted you could be with us. And a quick shout-out thanks to not only all my stations who have been taking me well over 2.5 decades, but also now more recently these podcast networks picking us up, whether it's Listen Notes or Apple or Amazon Music. Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India and Italy, of course, also Spotify. Great to be on with them. Obviously, CRN Talk has been taking us for decades, really. I mean, you can check them out on crntalk.com. We're carried on their channel 4. They also carry us via Roku. But without a doubt, without you and my audience, none of what I just mentioned would have been plausible. So thank you. Thank you again. We proudly say, in our 28th year of national syndication. Well, leading Democrat voices like Chris Cuomo are warning their fellow members to stop caving into the wokeism of hard lefties such as Representative Ocasio-Cortez as well as her squad, because doing so has proven to be a losing electoral strategy. But are the Cuomos of the party outnumbered? Also, the biggest Wall Street CEOs were a no-show at Zohran Mamdani's meet and greet, thus demonstrating opposition to the socialist planned economic destruction of New York City through government-owned grocery stores, anti-Semitism to fund the police plans, and takeover of small businesses. A lot of folks take umbrage with being told that what they work to create is now belonging to somebody else. Also, contrary to the Democrats' claim that Trump's tax cuts are only for the rich, well over 80% will enjoy these cuts, along with a ton of other benefits provided by the OBBB. What are some of the specifics? I do want to get into them, but before that happens, let me go ahead and introduce some old friend of the show. We've had her before, and it's always a delight to have her again. Kate Monroe, Marine Corps veteran, CEO of VetCom, a company that helps veterans access VA coverage, also former Republican candidate for California's 49th Congressional District. She also wrote the highly praised work entitled Race to Save America. Great to have you back, Kate. How are you today?
I'm excellent.
The CBO is once again giving an anemic projection of how much Trump's bill is going to grow the economy. They're predicting again like 1.8%, just like they did in 2017. But you would have thought that they may have learned their lesson, because during that go-around, after predicting only a 1.8% increase, turns out in 2018 it skyrocketed to a 2.9% economic increase. But they just don't seem to learn the lessons, do they?
Oh, I don't know if anybody on that side ever learns a lesson. I mean, these are the same people that thought he would lose in a landslide the first time. So, you know, you can't really trust all of these people too much. I think that the bill is going to be absolutely amazing. You take that bill and couple it with all the money we're bringing in on tariffs, and you have a kaboom effect. I'm very excited to see. We're already seeing many of the veterans we serve have more money in their pockets, and, you know, they have sort of their rally caps on, it feels like. So we're excited over here for what's going on. So, you know, don't listen to the naysayers.
Well, Trump has referred to the OBBB as the rocket ship for the nation's economy once it begins to work its magic. To illustrate this, the White House published this interactive map of the country showing, I guess, what average folks in each of the 50 states will wind up saving and witnessing going into their respective pocketbooks. Mind you, this is a comparison of what would have happened had the law not continued Trump's tax cuts, as well as the fresh impact to be realized by the bill's newer features. But if memory serves, we had Democrats saying in 17 what they're saying today, and that is the tax cuts are strictly for the wealthy. But even in 2017, the Tax Policy Center, a devotedly left-leaning organization, but even the Tax Policy Center admitted that well over 80% of the country enjoyed a tax break. Even the New York Times had the headline, "Face it, you probably got a tax cut." Yet that hasn't stopped the left from replicating that which has already been debunked. If over 80% got it the first go-around, well, then clearly over 80% is going to get it this go-around, because it's the same 80% and pretty much the same tax cut. What am I missing here?
Well, you're not missing anything. I think the real issue is that the Kool-Aid that they drink on the left is so strong. I'm actually amazed sometimes that they can keep their rhetoric going and that they can have the audacity to get on national television and weaponize the media in their favor, scare people, quite frankly. Why would you want to scare the American public that they're going to stay broke? Why would you want to scare veterans? Why would you want to go against what is good for your constituents? All for what? So you can retain power, so you can decimate the economy and leave the border open? I really wish these people would check themselves before they wreck themselves, or they're going to enter another season of, you know, red wave dominance coming into this next election cycle.
No, without a doubt. And the OBB, the OBBB does a lot of things. For instance, now it allows parents to direct education dollars to both charter and private schools. Now the feds don't provide the majority of government education funds anyway. Those come from the state. So let me ask you, how do we see that feature working out? Will it mostly be about allowing more tax deductions based upon how much is spent on private schools by the parents, or what? Because, again, most dollars going to education don't come from the feds. It comes from the states. So how do you see this feature helping families?
Well, I can tell you in places like San Diego, where I live, where not only is the price of everything more expensive, certainly private schools and any, you know, non-public school environment is very costly. If it comes to pass where I could realize some tax savings by being able to put my child where I'd actually like to put him in school, I think you'd see a big pivot in education where parents would actually be able to go, okay, this makes fiscal sense for me and my family. I think if that happens, he will have accomplished something absolutely incredible, because even as good as the public school system is that my son is in, it's still miles away from where it should be. You know, there's still some of that woke rhetoric left, still some of that old hanging on, just poor education quality that you find across the nation. So I hope that it's hugely impactful, because some of these kids are living in areas where they really need to be going to charter schools for safety and for their education.
No, valid point. And also, I think the left are going to be hoisted by their own petard, or with their own petard, because you got MSNBC, CNN, ABC, The Washington Post, the rest of legacy media. They're all claiming that there won't be any real economic growth from the OBBB, and that the law will remove the poor from Medicaid coverage versus only removing those who are ineligible for it. And then, of course, you have their all-time favorite line, nobody gets a tax break except for the rich. But again, the New York Times had this headline back then. It was April 14th, 2019. Face it, you probably got a tax cut. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cut tax rates for most Americans. And here's one of the excerpts to a law. And these are by reporters. Or this is not an op-ed piece. Okay, to a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase. I want to repeat that excerpt from the New York Times. To a large degree, the gap between perception and reality on the tax cuts appears to flow from a sustained and misleading effort by liberal opponents of the law to brand it as a broad middle-class tax increase. I got to tell you, kiddo, I don't know how the Democrats can still push how the OBBB is going to be such a menace when its foundation has already been praised. Anyway,
well,
never
you heard it there, folks. You heard it from them.
Precisely. I mean, the New York Times, right? Kate, if you can, hang on the line for just a moment. Folks, you're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
Summer can be a nonstop sprint for busy families. Between camps, road trips, and backyard barbecues, meals and snacks need to be quick, convenient, and kid-friendly. Lifestyle expert Yvette Rios has tips from the dairy aisle.
June is National Dairy Month, and dairy is a summertime lifesaver. So whether it's string cheese in a cooler, yogurt cups on the go, or even cottage cheese, these grab-and-go staples fuel kids without slowing parents down. Refrigerated doughs are another smart pick.
According to new research from the National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association, 77% of parents turn to dairy for convenient, kid-friendly summer solutions.
There are so many simple ways to build out a meal with dairy. Pasta salads with shredded cheese, veggie trays with ranch or sour cream dips, cottage cheese bowls topped with fruit and eggs, eggs for easy breakfast or protein-packed snacks.
To get more meal ideas and snack inspiration, visit EasyHomeMeals.com. That's EasyHomeMeals.com.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, leading Democrat voices like Chris Cuomo are warning their fellow members to stop caving into the wokeism of hard lefties such as Representative Ocasio-Cortez, as well as her squad. Why? Because doing so has proven to be a losing electoral strategy. But are the Cuomos of the party fairly outnumbered? We have assisting in the opining and analyzing. Old friend of the show, Kate Monroe, Marine Corps veteran, CEO of Vetcom, is a company that helps veterans access VA coverage, also a former Republican candidate for California's 49th Congressional District. She went on to write the highly praised work entitled Race to Save America. She's here to chat with us about everything concerning the OBBB, as well as wondering why it is that the chair of the DNC refuses to demand that the New York City mayoral candidate, Mamdani, actually condemn the phrase globalize the intifada, because it's essentially a phrase supporting the genocidal ending of Jews. That's pretty much what it wants to bring about. Kate Monroe, appreciate you sticking around. Thanks so much.
Happy to be here.
I want to go ahead and share with folks a bit of that background concerning this phrase. Let's have a little listen to NBC's Meet the Press with Kristen Welker. She's discussing this very matter. And let me let her speak it in her own words. Clip number, I think it's going to be, you know what? Scratch that. I instead want to play this clip. This is a PBS NewsHour clip from Amna Nawaz. And she's speaking directly to DNC Chair Ken Martin about this issue and why is it he hasn't taken a more active stance in this regard and asking Mamdani to go ahead and damn it, condemn the phrase. Clip one, James, if you please.
What about concerns from some of your Jewish colleagues in particular about him not outright condemning the phrase globalize the intifada in a recent interview? Some of your Jewish colleagues have said that that could be very disturbing, potentially dangerous. Do you agree with that?
You know, there's no candidate in this party that I agree 100% of the time with, to be honest with you. There's things that I don't agree with Mamdani that he said. But at the end of the day, I always believe, as a Democratic Party chair in Minnesota for the last 14 years and now the chair of the DNC, that you win through addition. You win by bringing people into your coalition. We have conservative Democrats. We have centrist Democrats. We have labor progressives like me. And we have this new brand of Democrat, which is the leftist. And we win by bringing people into that coalition. And at the end of the day, for me, that's the type of party we're going to lead. We are a big tent party. Yes, it leads to dissent and debate, and there's differences of opinions on a whole host of issues. But we should celebrate that as a party and recognize at the end of the day, we're better because of it.
Wow. You know, the challenge wasn't whether or not you're willing to accept diverse views. The challenge is whether or not one of those diverse views can be considered legitimate when it's calling for the genocidal treatment of Jews. And I think Ken Martin fell down on that spectacularly. What say you?
I totally agree. I mean, in our entire society, this is a systemic failure of this generation. We used to be, when I grew up in the 80s, it was a super FAFO generation. If you messed around too much, you were going to find out. That doesn't happen anymore. I would encourage the left to go, hey, there are Democrats and there are crazy woke leftists, and we're going to draw a line in the sand, and you are on the other side. Because the farther they go that direction, not only is it destructive to their party, which I could care less, great, destroy your party, perfect, but it's destructive to the American public. It's destructive to our youth in America, because right now they're all thinking, well, it's too expensive to live. We should probably be, you know, socialists. They're going to find out really quick when they get into their 30s and 40s that that makes absolutely no sense, and it'll be too late. So this rhetoric needs to stop from the top down, and people's lack of fortitude is disgusting to me. When are the alpha males going to step back up into the spotlight and say, enough is enough? You need to sit down and stop.
Precisely. But at one point, do they understand that they're encountering the law of diminishing returns, wherein whatever they're getting out of this latest left-wing inclination is far exceeded by what they're losing, especially all things woke? I mean, DEI, I can't think of anything more antithetical to the words to which this acronym are supposedly attached. I mean, DEI means, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, but it's a diversity that is most straightforwardly against the diversity of individual thought. Its equity is against the equity of merit, and its inclusion is most assuredly against the inclusion of all. Everything's racially prioritized. And Democrats like to argue that, oh, being woke is just showing an awareness of existing racism and bigotry. And therefore, they don't see, you know, why wokeness is such a bad thing. But they're deliberately confusing its valid origins with its later hijacked use by the left, which has been done to just justify a wide array of never-intended, sophistically structured bad faith agendas. You know, like transgender females rivaling naturally born females in competitive sports, despite science proving its unfairness. How about males claiming on Monday, or I should say males on Monday claiming they're females on Tuesday so that they can use the girls' restroom and locker rooms and showers on Wednesday? Or preempting parents from learning about their children's gender identity questions. I mean, these things are what the left began pushing under the camouflage of being woke, and that jettisons its earlier credibility. Or am I seeing too much into this?
No, I think you're seeing it through the clearest lens possible. And one of the real problems, again, is we will not stand up for what is right. You have a massive mental health challenge on the left, and because no one will face it for what it is, just like we won't face homeless, drugs, and lawlessness for what it is, it continues to rise. It never goes down. It is a mental illness. And because these people are so loud and overpoweringly crazy about it, the people who are not crazy are like, well, I guess we got to let them go because they're so much louder than us. We don't even know how to contend with this. And they're just running rampant. I guarantee you there are people who are regular Democrats going, what in the H Christ are we doing?
Well, they're leaving. They're leaving the Democrat Party. That's why it's such a marginalized shadow of its original self. I mean, yeah, and the thing is they take what might be a valid effort and they make their demands associated with it so extreme that they undercut what would otherwise be a credible position. For instance, what's wrong with saying that you can be pro-transgender while still recognizing the inherently unfair physical advantage that transgender females, biological males, still have over naturally born females in competitive sports? What's wrong with recognizing that unfair advantage that transgender females have over naturally born females in competitive sports? And isn't it also accurate to say that camouflaging this grotesque unfairness as a civil rights campaign is fooling nobody with an IQ over ice cream? Or am I being too snarky?
I love the snarky. Keep it coming. My 8-year-old son realizes how incredibly ridiculous it is for even a little boy to compete against a little girl. When he sees that, he thinks it is absurd, and he is 8 years old. So how are we 28 and 38 and 48 and 58 thinking that this clown world reality that we're forced to live in is somehow good? I was just talking to a gentleman up in L.A., and he was telling me that his 5-year-old is what he would say is feminine. I said, stop calling your son feminine. You have a little boy who happens to have a preference right now for things that are a tad girly. In 2 more years, he might want to go back to playing with G.I. Joes. Do not poison the mind of your child so that he
really
can get
we are expecting our kids to make gender identity decisions at a time when they're still at the same stage when trying to determine which Marvel comic strip hero they would most like to emulate. So here they are at an age where they're still trying to pick which comic strip hero they want to copy, and also ask them, by the way, are you ready to make a gender decision that could alter the trajectory of your entire life? Come on, little Jimmy at 6.5. Give us your thoughtful response. This is insane what we're expecting these kids to figure out at an age that is perhaps decades before they really will understand enough about themselves to make such a decision. Or again, am I seeing too much into this?
No, I mean, as I've said before, I grew up in the 80s. The idea that this is even a conversation, the fact that you have to ban it, the fact that we have to have like marches and parades and parents have to go to schools and create rallies to just keep two genders is so insane. There's not more things we could be worried about, right? Like 1.3 million veterans at the brink of homelessness, drugs running rampant, the border that was open. None of that stuff is worth standing up for. No, let's make sure boys can hurt little girls in sports. That's really what
we
should be doing.
See, this is what
here
I find strange. And that is, they are alienating a large segment of what had been a reliable voting bloc. Women in general. You know, they had a good lion's share of that demographic. Women in general, of all walks of life, of all ethnic breakdowns. This, however, is alienating them because they're arguing that in the name of yet-to-be-settled rights, they have the prerogative to undermine well-established rights thoroughly codified in law. I give you Title IX. Don't tell the girls they got to give up their rights in the name of rights not yet settled. Stick with us.
Active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public. We want policymakers. We want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriers still exist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new Prickly Pear Raspberry Water Fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode. We've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
National Iced Tea Day is just around the corner, and it's the perfect time to celebrate everyone's favorite summertime beverage. As a tea sommelier, I'm always looking for tea products with high-quality ingredients that are sourced responsibly. When it comes to a bottled tea, my go-to is Tea Java. It's brewed in small batches using quality tea leaves from Java, Indonesia. No sugar, no calories, and no added preservatives. Just a refreshing, authentic tea like I brewed it myself. Tea Java is a must-have this summer. You can learn more at teajava.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us, covering a number of issues. One of them happens to be the displeasure being expressed by some, such as Rahm Emanuel, Chris Cuomo, even James Carville, over the left-winged slant that has dominated the Democrat Party. These are folks who are not at all convinced of the Republican perspective. These are dyed-in-the-wool, hardcore Democrats. They would say very liberal. Others may say progressive. To me, if you're a progressive, you cannot be liberal, because progressivism doesn't have the least infinitesimal amount of tolerance that is most inherently a part of actual liberalism. So we can't call them progressive liberals. It's an act of functional illiteracy to do so. However, we do have these Democrats, dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, Chris Cuomo, Rahm Emanuel, James Carville, all pointing out that the left-wingedry of the party right now is going to drag them down. Matter of fact, Cuomo calls AOC a quote-unquote symbol of the demise, because it's a symbol that places the quote-unquote needs of the few over the many. And he goes on to argue that sticking with socialists like her will be the ruin of the Democrat Party. I'm thinking the good news for the GOP is that Cuomo's advice is falling on deliberately deafened ears. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, Nils Grevelius. He's a prominent Los Angeles-based private investigator of the Pinkerton Organization, best known for his investigation of the Wonderland Avenue murders, their cover-up, and the ties they expose between L.A.'s city government and organized crime. His latest books include the highly praised work referred to as Skullduggery and Sub Rosa. Good to have you back, Niles. How are you today?
Very nice to be on your show, Mr. Nathan. I have a new book pending, which is actually my professional memoir, The Last Lawman, which will be coming out in June of next year. I'm very happy to address this subject with you. I am, Mr. Nathan.
And the surname is Grevelius, right? Grevelius?
I'm Nils Grevelius, so it's easy to confuse it.
Nils Grevelius. No, I like to get surnames correct. Nils Grevelius. We've had you on before, and my apologies for not getting your surname correct. Very, very Greek, is it not?
Oh, no. My family are Normans, Swedish
I'll
Normans.
I'll be damned. Wow. Okay. Learning something here. This seems to be a very Greek. I'm fascinated with, I'm a bit of a linguist, and I'm fascinated by names and origins, what have you. Anyway, getting off of that for a moment, it seems to me that the aggregate Democrat Party is not interested in listening to the warnings of people like Cuomo or Rahm Emanuel or James Carville. They would rather continue the path they're currently on, even though they can see just how much of a diminishing return they're getting for this tactic. Or am I seeing too much into it, Nils?
I don't think that you're seeing too much into it. What the communists, let's be frank, let's just call them communists. The DSA are communists. What they offer the left within the Democrat Party, Mr. Nathan, is access to power, the perception of power. And remember, for weaklings, power is an irresistible narcotic.
No, it's fair to say. But they're doing it by a very old, sophistic approach, which is to convince people that an agenda is validated by its stated goals. And, of course, as you know, that's just nonsensical. An agenda is never, ever validated by its stated goals. Why? Because that's the job of the agenda, to demonstrate that it has the required properties to achieve the goals in whose name it's been proffered. But they really get into this inverted burden of proof construct as a way to sell everything. You know, we're for mom, apple pie, and togetherness. Here's our agenda to achieve it. If you oppose our agenda, well, that means you're against mom, apple pie, and togetherness. No, schmuck. I'm just pointing out that you have failed to show how your agenda will attain the goals in whose name they've been proffered. Or am I seeing too much into that?
I don't think you're seeing too much into it. Mr. Nathan, an adequate translation of from each according to his means and to each according to his needs might be Arbeit macht frei.
Well, my understanding is that it's from each according to his needs, to each according to...
From each according to his means, to each according to his needs.
No, no, I know what it is. No, it's from each according to his capabilities, to each according to his needs. That's why a doctor and a garbage man will pretty much get the same salary if we go with the communists. Yeah. So it is, yeah, that's, I'm remembering now. It's from each according to his capabilities, to each according to his needs. And therein lies the disconnect of all reality, because equal opportunity has never meant equal outcome. Just because you're given the same opportunity to achieve greatness doesn't mean that you are now entitled to be seen as having achieved the greatness that somebody else actually had to work to bring about. And therein lies the disconnect. A lot of folks like the idea of knowing that no matter how much effort they put out, they're going to get the same reward as those who put out that effort. But of course, by that measure, we never advance any culture. We never advance any society, because what's the use of striving if you feel you're going to get no more of a reward than the person next year who doesn't bother trying at all?
Well, I think you're not understating it here. Communism has always been very attractive to men who don't want to compete. The competition inevitably in a society like Cuba or under the Khmer Rouge becomes a competition to see who can get the most for doing the least, and then who can survive another day for a bread crust. That's ultimately how it becomes. And it's always the same sort of characters at the top. Did you know that Pol Pot and his cadres of the Khmer Rouge would communicate to each other in French because they were Sorbonne educated? And that was to keep everybody else from knowing what they really intended to do.
No, I find that fascinating and actually brilliant. I mean, if your goal is to do something as nefarious as was the case with them, well, then that's a good strategy to use. I just find it amazing how people still fall for that old approach. Hey, vote for me and I'll give you more out of the treasury than the other guy. I mean, that's that basically what they're doing and what they're peddling, although I do believe that because we're no longer limited to what only legacy media has to say, but rather are exposed to all forms of media, that we as an aggregate society have become less and less naive. It took a bit of a learning curve to bring that about. I think originally social media took advantage of existing naivete. But now the pendulum has swung so far that people are coming to understand that they've been duped for a very long time, and they're not going to tolerate it any longer, hence the success of Trump November of last year. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.